After the first wave of free agent signings and news and developments, things have taken a little bit of an odd turn in relation to the Tennessee Titans this offseason. There have been more moves. There's the possibility of a move. There is, I guess, just a lot going on. Some new coaches have been added to the lower reaches of the coaching staff, if you will. Just to recap a little bit quickly, last week we talked a lot about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina looking around for an offer from somewhere else. Apparently that search did not last long, because I think it was the next day after we recorded, he circled back, signed with the Titans on a 1-year contract that'll pay him $1.26 million this year. And I guess he'll try again next year. Austin Hooper is headed to the Las Vegas Raiders. Dennis Daly, I think much to the delight of a lot of Titans fans, is moving on too. He's heading to the Arizona Cardinals. And the big news of the last week is that the Titans have asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. He is reluctant to do so, or maybe even defiant in his desire not to do so. And the reports are that the Titans potentially could cut Kevin Byard if a deal cannot be reached that is agreeable by both sides, or agreeable to both sides. So there is a certain panic, I think, among Titans fans right now about what is going to happen with that situation. So we will look at these items and more on this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with our usual panel, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, welcome in.
Thank you, David, for having me this evening. How are you doing?
We're not coming to you. You're the OG of this podcast.
I love every Wednesday to see your gorgeous face. Thank you, David.
We're just riding on your coattails. Ron Glennon, welcome in.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I am David Beauclair. And as always, I need to remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, which remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, at least what's left of that season, the UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, gentlemen, players say it all the time. League observers such as us say it all the time. Fans say it all the time. The NFL is a business, first and foremost. But every so often, the business side of things really jumps up and smacks you in the face. So, Denard Walker, how stunning is it that the Titans would ask Kevin Byard, of all people, to take a pay cut? How should people be feeling about it? How should Kevin Byard, I guess, first of all, be feeling about that?
Well, it's business, and we know that sometimes business comes first. But I think if I'm Rand Carthon and I miss a Strunk, the first thing that I'm doing is saying we don't want to make this about business, because when you look at the two-time first team All-Pro, the two-time Pro Bowler in 2017-2021, the NFL interception co-leader in 2017, the 24th player ever drafted out of what? MTSU, the highest draft pick since former. What's their mascot? The Blue Raiders?
The Blue Raiders,
Tyrone Calico. You remember, he played for the Titans.
Right.
Started over 105 games. 63 pass deflections, 27 interception. And David, man, what I see from the mayor of Murfreesboro is that's production. And it's not so much as the contract, but it's what he does off the field, his charitable events. David, you got to find a way to keep Kevin Byard in Nashville, even if you have to restructure his contract, because he's done too much as a player, and he's continuing to doing a lot in the community.
You know, we've talked about this on here. We said, you know, with Rand Carthen, a new GM, you know, there are no sacred cows, right? That's why the Titans are willing to entertain trade offers for Derrick Henry, for example. It's but if there is to be a sacred cow among the current players on the roster, I mean, it has to be Kevin Byard, a guy who has stayed healthy, number one, who has played really, really well, number two, a guy who has made no mistakes off the field and actually has done his part to enhance the Titans' name within the community and across the country and whatnot. So, you know, John Glennon, has Rand Carthen made a mistake here? I mean, yes, we all get that he's trying to free up as much salary cap room as possible, but was this a step out of bounds for the new GM? Do you think?
I think probably so. I think if you're Rand Carthen and you're you know, at least wanting to get off on the right foot and maybe curry a little favor in the fan base, I can think of two things that you wouldn't want to see pop up in rumors and media. One of them would be the potential trade of Derrick Henry. The other would be the potential, at least theoretically, a release of Kevin Byard. But at least we know from various reports that he's asking Kevin Byard for a pay cut. And financially, okay, I can see Kevin Byard has a $19 million or so, cap hit next year, the second highest on the team, $19.6 million, second biggest on the team behind Ryan Tannehill. So I can see if you're strapped, you do have to maybe at least ask some questions. But one thing I went back and looked at, let's remember that last year, one of the reasons that Kevin Byard's cap hit is at 19 right now is that last year when the Titans needed cap space to bring in Robert Woods, they restructured Kevin Byard's contract. So he went up. He would have been $17 million for next year. He's now at 19.6. He would have been at 15.6 for 2024. He went up to 17.8. So basically, he was doing something for the good of the team, helping them bring in Robert Woods, helping them get some cap space. And now, all of a sudden, the same team is turning around and saying, boy, you've got quite a big cap hit next year. Can we work on that a little bit? So I don't blame Kevin Byard for saying, no thanks. I'm not really interested. Again, it would be one thing if Kevin Byard was coming off a poor season or a couple poor seasons. He is not. It would be one thing if he was coming off, a couple injury plagued seasons. He is not. As you mentioned, David, I don't think he's missed a game, right? In his 7 years with the Titans.
Yeah, so, it was the prospect was raised late last season, even of, the Titans resting some players in, I guess it was 2022, meaningless games, whatever, I guess last season, and Byard said, there's no way I'm not playing.
Right.
So the
last thing seemingly you want to do is tick off, one of your best team leaders, one of your most productive players. And if we take it even one step further and we talk about a potential release, who exactly is supposed to be filling that spot? All of a sudden it becomes a huge need in free agency, because I don't really see somebody, unless they were to, convert one of their corners to safeties. And even if they did that, I don't think it's a free safety kind of situation. So, I think it was a step out of bounds, as you phrased it. I guess what appears to be right now is the two are kind of at a crossroads, but hopefully they can find a way to resolve this. If it's a restructure again and which would result in extension, I think anything is better than potentially trading him or releasing Kevin Byard.
You wonder how much of a calculation this was, because Byard is a real team guy. I don't think anybody would dispute that. He made no bones about the fact that he was happy to restructure his deal last year. He answers the call when community relations department has things that it needs, somebody to do. He'll do that for the good of the team. He he welcomes new guys to the team. He's a big voice in the locker room that way. He has talked about the fact that he only wants to play for one team in his career. So, you know, maybe there's a bit of a calculated risk by the front office here to say, well, you know, if anybody is going to be willing to take a pay cut, we can talk Kevin Byard into this because he is a good team guy, and we can make him understand that this is for the good of the team. But you know, I agree. Like, at a certain point, a guy like him has to dig his heels in and say, no, I've earned my money, and I continue to earn this money, and I'm not going to give any of it up. Former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock weighed in on this on Twitter. He said, I'm not taking a pay cut if I'm Kevin Byard. He said he should be like, damn, why y'all coming after my money? Ryan Tannehill's got all the bread, pinch some of his $29.5 million, you know, and that really does make more sense to me. Just from a production standpoint, we were talking about Tannehill coming off an injury plagued season and what have you. You know, probably didn't live up to his salary expectations last season when, oh, by the way, he had the number one salary cap number in the NFL. It's interesting to me. So I do think they are trying to gamble on Kevin Byard's good nature here. And I don't know. So, you know, real quickly, just Denard, do you think there's a chance he gets cut, or are you confident this gets worked out one way or another?
I'm confident that they will work this out. I mean, if you cut or release Kevin Byard, you're talking about your defensive captain. You're talking about your most valuable player on that defense. And who are you going to replace him with? I mean, that's the big question mark. Who are you going to replace him with? I don't see no one right now on the roster that you can go with. And you lose a player of his caliber, you got a young secondary. You're talking about Christian Fulton. You're talking about Roger McCreary. You got two young corners. Who do you think is going to get those players lined up? You got in that tandem with Amani Hooker. If you look at Pro Football Focus, they're ranked one and third respectively. So who out there right now can you go after in free agency that you think can come in right now and replace Kevin?
It's a great question. John Glennon, how confident are you that Kevin Byard is in a Titans uniform in week one?
I'm very confident. I don't see the team having much leverage, you know, with all the reasons that we brought up so far. You know, I don't think Kevin Byard has to sweat anything here. You know, I think he is good enough. He is still productive enough. You know, and again, that he has earned that contract. And there's no need. And there's just, you know, I think if a fan base was ever to press a panic button, that would be a time to do it. If they were to move on from one of the most productive and top leaders on the team with really no one in mind to replace him. So I think they find a way to get this worked out. And, you know, I think we'll see Kevin Byard on the field with the Titans next year.
Yeah, I mean, you can't let public sentiment dictate your business decisions, but I think there would be such a backlash to this too, that this is one of those rare instances that everybody has to stop and think, like, okay, if we were to do this, what would it mean? And I think it would just be a terrible, terrible miscalculation on numerous fronts if the Titans made that decision. But we will see where that goes. Coming into that defensive backfield, you know, Denard, you mentioned the young cornerbacks. There's there's another relatively young guy, Sean Murphy Bunting, coming to town, free agent ad, formerly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This team has spent a lot of draft capital on that position. What does Sean Murphy Bunting add? Where does he fit into this group right now, do you think?
Well, he has depth. You know, that's the key right now, because if you look at this Tennessee secondary, they were decimated last year by injuries. John, you and David both alluded to the fact that Mike Vrabel called out one of the corners, and I don't want to name his name because he went to LSU. So I'm not going to mention him. But right now, we know Caleb Farley. We don't know his situation, your former first rounder in 2021. So we don't know what's going to happen with him in 2023. Will he bounce back and have the kind of career we've been anticipating? What I love about Sean Murphy Bunton, you're talking about a young player. He was what people don't forget. He forgot his senior year at Central Michigan, and he was drafted relatively high. Now, there's some mixed emotions coming out of Tampa when it comes to Sean Murphy Bunton, because if you look at some of the writers, I was reading some of the from the Bucks beat writer, John, is it Ledyard? And he was talking about Sean Murphy Bunton, and he said he has awesome tools, but some of the worst instincts I've seen. Now, to play defensive back, to play corner in this league, you have to have instincts. That's what makes you great. You have to be instinctive. And they had a – and what a wonderful – I was reading an article, and the managing editor, River Wells, he was quoted saying that Sean Murphy Bunton is a talented piece that serves as good – he serves as a good – like he adds depth. But when he's – when you think about him as far as him playing, because he's had a history of injuries – he's been very frustrating to watch. And when I look at him on film, you can see the athleticism because he can play both in and out. So he can give you depth where they were missing last year with Elijah out most of the season. So he can go in and play that slot corner, which is desperately you need that in this league. But again, he gives up a lot of plays and he's been injured quite a bit since being drafted in 2019. I will say last but not least, he got high praises from former Tennessee Tiger Logan Ryan. Now, he's kind of like an understudy of Logan, and we know that Logan is one of the best defensive backs playing that slot corner. He is a teacher, and Logan said this, is that the best is yet to come with Sean. He has a lot of mobility. He has a lot of athleticism, and not to mention he plays big in playoff games.
Yeah, a guy who put up numbers in the Chiefs Super Bowl win a couple of years ago. And, you know, he's been a starter, was not a starter early this year, got another opportunity when players ahead of him got hurt. And according to Coach Raheem Morris, played really, really well down the stretch for the Buccaneers. So we'll see. You know, John, is this a case of you can never have too many cornerbacks, or is it that the Titans just don't believe they have enough, even with all the draft picks they've made at that spot the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think it's a little bit of a telling statement on, you know, the kind of the lack of quality production they've gotten from those high draft picks, you know, over the last few years. You look at Christian Fulton, and when he's been in the game, you know, for the most part, he's been pretty good, but he's only played, I think, you know, over the last 3 years, only 30 out of the 50 games. You know, he gave up 5 touchdown passes last year. I think he was tied for the 10th in the league, even though he didn't play a full season. Then you go to 2021, first round draft pick, Caleb Farley. We know how, you know, awful his injury situation has been. And even when he was in for a couple of games last year, he was bad. 9 receptions, average of almost 23 yards a catch, just not pretty. You move up to 2021, Elijah Molden only played 2 games last year. And then finally, Roger McCreary this past year, you know, I think was solid for the most part. But still, you know, you look at one number stands out for Roger McCreary. He gave up 7 TDs, which was tied for 2nd among all corners last year. So that was not a great stat. So they've spent a lot of draft capital on cornerbacks, and yet still, whether it's because of injury or whether it's just because the production has not turned out particularly well, they did need to make this move. They needed more depth. They need a guy who can step into a you know, potential starting role, and they need some experience. Even though this is only going to be Murphy Bunting's 5th year in the league, that qualifies experience on this team. So to me, he's an interesting guy. He's a little bit like some of the other Titans free agent signings in that, you know, you don't say, wow, they got an absolute stud. But you look at it and you say, okay, I do see potential upside anyway. You know, and Murphy Bunting's best, most productive 2 years were probably his first two, you know, and he's missed 14 games injuries the last couple of years. But he did when he was on the field last year. You know, he missed 5 games. When he was on the field, He put up some of the best numbers, in terms of coverage grades and so forth of his career. And Denard, as you mentioned also, you know, he's a guy who can play both in the slot and the outside. So I think the ideal would be to have him on the outside. Maybe you move Roger McCreary. You know, his skills seem to suit the slot pretty well, you know, and maybe, you know, that way that is his most productive move. And maybe that's what we see for the Titans next year.
One thing that's going to be interesting to me, you know, because guys like this, you're never really sure, you know, do the Titans have big plans for him, or is he here in case, you know, Elijah Molden is still struggling or has another problem, or if Caleb Farley can't get healthy again, or you know, is he just a guy who's kind of here for insurance that if everybody gets to the start of the season healthy, then they can come or whatnot. But keep an eye. This is one of those instances. Keep an eye on the roster when numbers are handed out. Sean Murphy Bunting, his first year in the league, wore number 25, switched to number 23 his second year, and that year in Tampa Bay, talked about how important that number was to him, that he wore it a lot as a kid. It's sort of a tribute to like a Michael Jordan, but more importantly, he said he's got five brothers. He has two older brothers. That's the two, three young or two younger brothers, three older brothers, excuse me. And that's where the 2-3 comes from. And he equates that number to his family ties and whatnot. It's really, you know, it's important to him that way. And right now, Shaheem Carter has number 23, or is listed as number 23 on the roster. And, you know, Carter's a guy who's been on and off the practice squad and just, you know, guy who's been around this team for the last year or so, but hasn't made any significant contributions. And I think what you'll see is if Murphy Bunting really is a part of the Titans' plans, you'll probably see him wearing the number 23. That'd be one of those things where, you know, the management and or the personnel people will say to Shaheem Carter, you know, I know you've got that number, but this guy needs to have it. We're going to give you number 26, 25, whatever it's going to be. That, you know, these are little things that sometimes can be big details if you're looking for them. So keep an eye on that when that happens.
Compensation as well, David.
Yes. Yeah. Compensation has a lot to. Yeah, has a lot to do with
lots of money.
Who gets numbers?
Exactly. Got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know for a fact, because that happened to me at Denver. Because you know, my first year there, I had 25. But Eric Davis, you know, the longtime 49ers, they signed him, and he came to me, and he's like, "Denarda, please, you know, what do I got to do to get that number 25?" And he says, "I'll pay you." I didn't take the money, but David, now looking back, I should have took about $10,000 to wear 27 for Steve Atwater for a year. That would have been 10 grand in my pocket.
There you go. There you go. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is getting pretty decent money for a guy who entered the league as an undrafted rookie and has played three good solid years. Is not a Pro Bowl wide receiver, I think, by any stretch of the imagination, but has been a good, meaningful player to this team. We talked about him some last week. Denard, is it important to the Titans that he is back here? You know, does that make this offense a little bit better right now than it was a week ago?
Yes, considering the fact that if they played a week ago, you're going to go to battle with Traylon, Racy, and Cal. No, you're not going to win on the perimeter. And when you added Nick back to the piece, back to the puzzle, what you added was one of your most productive players since 2020. Nick has been phenomenal these last four years now. It's hard to believe he's been in the league that long. And you're talking about a player, an undrafted free agent out of Indiana, and he's gotten better every year. He's consistent. And Nick doesn't necessarily, John and David, he puts up big numbers. I mean, we don't have to talk about the game against Denver or Washington, but what you do see in Nick is you see consistency on the field. You see a player that when his number is called, he makes plays. And that's what you're looking when you're talking about on the perimeter game. You don't need a guy like a Jerry Rice all the time that's going to average 100-some game or your TO. You just need a player that when his
number is called, he's going to make a play. And Nick has been that. You're talking about a player that has played over 70% of the Titans' offensive snaps. He has been phenomenal. I go back to the game against Denver. I mean, he was the X factor. And you look at the game against Washington. I alluded to that last, talking about the game last year, that big play, that strike that Ron hit him for that 60-yard gainer. I mean, that was a difference maker. He is a difference maker when he's in the game. So I'm glad to see that the Titans have added him back to the roster.
And, you know, John, it has not exactly been a hot wide receiver market this off season. Do we just assume that he had, you know, little to no meaningful interest around the league and decided his best, you know, his best bet is just to play another year in Tennessee, continue to grow, as Denard said, a guy who has continued to get better and, you know, kind of gamble on himself for another year here?
Yeah, I'm sure there was a little bit of that, and I'm sure, you know, probably some of his familiarity with the Titans, you know, and Rob Moore as a wide receivers coach, and Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback, you know, that probably played a factor into it as well. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. I thought, you know, when the signing, you know, was announced, or when it was reported, you know, on Twitter, I put out a post saying, you know, I thought it was a good thing that, you know, he was coming back, that he brought some depth and some experience back to the wide receiver squad. And there was a lot of blowback over what I thought was a fairly simple tweet, you know. A lot more blowback, anti-Nick Westbrook-Akina sentiment than I would have expected. And I can understand it from the standpoint that, you know, Nick Westbrook-Akina was playing up higher than where he should have been last year. He's not a 1, 2, or 3 receiver on a good football team, but because of injuries, because of lack of, you know, solid personnel, those were some of the roles that he had to play last year, you know, and he wasn't cut out for that. So, he wasn't going to be your typically productive 2 or 3 or whatever. But he's a guy, you know, assuming you can get him in a 4th or 5th wide receiver role, which hopefully the Titans will have him in by the time the season starts. That's a good guy to have, you know, knows the system, a big guy, can play all 3 wide receiver positions. You know, if he's back playing 4 or 5, he can also help you on special teams as well. You know, his production went down last year in terms of the catches, 38 to 25. But average per catch was almost 16 yards per reception. You know, that's pretty solid, especially for what this offense was last year. So I think it's a good move to bring him back. Again, not saying it's good if he is your number 2 or 3 wide receiver, but, you know, he is a good guy to bring back in a 4th or 5th type wide receiver role.
Yeah, he's almost – to me, he reminds me very much of Tajay Sharpe in 2019, if you remember. Like, Tajay Sharpe was the number 1 backup at all 3 wide receiver positions, the X, Y, Z. And, you know, he caught 25 passes that year, had 4 touchdown passes, was good – or 4 touchdown catches, excuse me, was good in the red zone, was, you know, just a guy that coaches liked and trusted. They knew they could put him on the field, and that's – you know, if that's what he can end up being this year, that, you know, it's not going to get him a huge payday on the other side of it, but it'll be good for the Titans, certainly. And but is anyone else here stunned that the Titans have not done anything else at the wide receiver position this year so far? I mean does the fact that they haven't suggest that maybe the number 11 overall pick this year is going to be a wide receiver? I mean, Denard, you've talked about it again here tonight that, you know, this they don't have enough there right now, right? I mean, how surprising is it that they haven't added a wide receiver from outside right now?
Yeah, I'm a little shocked considering the fact that we talked about this all season, the lack of production from your perimeter. And I do believe with that 11th pick, they're going to get a receiver. I mean, you went out last year, you got Treylon Burks this year. I'm anticipating them going out. I wonder if Quentin Johnson from TCU would be there at 11th. Tennessee, when you look at their draft history, they love big receivers. If you go back, Corey Davis, well, Corey's about 6'4", 6'5". AJ, 6'1", 230. You go Treylon Burks, 6'3". Then you talk about a Quentin Johnson out of TCU at 11. You got to take him, David. I mean, this is a star in the making. You look at the athleticism. You look at the fact that he's 21 years old. He can get over the top of the defense. And he made my man Max Duggan. What was it? My man out of TCU, Max Duggan, made him a Heisman finalist. Now he declared for the draft after that one big year. I don't know. And then if you look at the free agents out there this year, David, this is what's shocking. You still got OBJ. He hasn't been signed yet. And I know he's coming off ACL surgery, but he's been out a year. So I'm telling you, I've been what do these young kids call it, trolling on YouTube. I've been watching OBJ work out. He looks excellent. He looks in great shape. And then not to mention, you still have DJ Chark, 26 years old. We talked, you said it last week, David. I mean, his ability to stretch the field. You need some players that can get over the top of the defense.
Yeah, I think the signing of Andre Dillard, presumably to be left tackle, sort of creates the opportunity to say, okay, we're still going to draft a tackle, but we can wait till the second or third round to do that now. I agree. If Quentin Johnson is there, it almost becomes a no-brainer to me right now. But you know, we'll have to see if that's how Rand Carthen operates in the draft. You know, and John, you know, we've talked about guys like Chark and you know, Mecole Hardman, who's now going to the New York Jets, but you know, he's off the market. But there are guys out there. Do we suspect that now the wide receivers are going to have to wait until maybe after the draft and see how things fall before some of these guys start moving around again?
Yeah, I think, you know, clearly the Titans were waiting for a market to be set among the wide receivers. And I think it's probably, you know, set or in the process of being set right now. It was not the prop in general of wide receivers, you know, it was just not considered all that good. I do like taking a chance. You mentioned the name DJ Chark, and we've talked about him before. A guy with speed, you know, a guy can get downfield, can open up some space in the middle. He's had a lot of injuries, but he finished the last half of last season very productive. You know, I don't like taking a lot of injury chances, but I think he's worth it at a position of need there. And then, you know, I was just looking at some of the other guys. There's still some names out there. A guy like Olamide Zaccheaus, you know, played for the Falcons last year. 40 catches, you know, in a system that we all know with Arthur Smith has a lot of similarities to the Titans. Averaged, you know, 13 yards a catch, 5 touchdowns. And he's been around the league for 4 years. He's gotten better and better each year, more productive, and a career average of 14 yards per catch. So he's not a big guy. You know, we know the Titans generally like big guys. He's only 5'8", 193. But, you know, he's another guy that I think might be, you know, worth taking a look at. I just think the Titans don't have a ton of money, you know, which is why I think they've been playing it close to the vest with most of their signings so far. And that's probably the primary reason that we don't have a wide receiver in here at this point.
And as we come down the home stretch here, I mentioned early on, the Titans have filled out their coaching staff, and they did it three distinctly different types of coaches. They added Tom Quinn as a special teams assistant. Quinn has 16 years of coaching experience in the NFL and has been a special teams coordinator with the New York Giants. They added Anthony Levine as another special teams assistant. Levine was a special teams player through much of his 10-year career, which ended in 2021. And they added Matt Jones as offensive line assistant out of the college ranks, most recently at the University of Tennessee Martin. So in case you're keeping score at home, they now have a special teams coach in Craig Aukerman. They have a kicking coach in James Wilhoit. They have two special teams assistants. They did not replace Luke Steckel as run game analyst. So we'll have to see if Pat O'Hara is just an offense analyst now instead of the pass game analyst as he originally was moved to in the offseason here. That little bit of housekeeping is done. And then we mentioned this too, Dennis Daly, the much maligned Dennis Daly, going to the Arizona Cardinals on a 2-year deal. We need to point out Monty Olsenfort is the Cardinals' new GM, was a part of the Titans front office, knows exactly what he's getting in this guy. Dinar, did we all miss something in Dennis Daly last year that, you know, that this guy is getting a deal like this and another opportunity after what looked like a rough year?
Wow. We missed watching the quarterback not getting sacked. I don't know how else to put it. But, you know, like I said, you know, if you're talking about Monty Olsen, he's worked with the Titans. So, again, familiarity. That's how players, they typically get signed when there's, you know, some kind of familiarity with an organization. I'm pretty sure they had a lot of conversation about Dennis, but, you know, and I don't want to get off Dennis, but, you know, we talked about all the new hires, David. I think a great hire, and I don't want to get off topic, I'm not deviating from what you just said, but Justin Hamilton as the new defensive quality control coach, that's going to be big. You know why? Because he coached a young man by the name of Caleb Farley at Virginia Tech. We've been on Caleb.
I was going to say he was an LSU guy.
He's a Hokie now. He's a Hokie. But that monster year that Caleb had in 2019, and that's what got him drafted so high. You know who his coach was?
Tell us.
Justin Hamilton.
Yeah, I was going to say, that staff.
He was on that staff at Virginia Tech. I think this is going to be a big hire. It's going to be great for Caleb Farley, and we can see an emergence in Caleb Farley in 2023, John and David.
And back to Dennis Daly for a second. I will say the Cardinals still have their top three tackles from last year on their roster, so they're not looking for Dennis Daly to step in and be a starting left tackle the way the Titans did. But I guess there's something to be said for experience, even if it's not great experience. We have experienced this edition of the Believe in Titans podcast. It's now coming to an end. So we'll wrap this up here and say thank you, John Glennon, as always.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Dinard, thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you, John.
And once again, I am David Beauclair. This is the Believe in Titans podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.